I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, making our journey through the book of Acts, and we're finding ourselves in chapter 13. And this morning, I'll be looking at verses 4 through verse number 12. As Barnabas and Saul sail to Cyprus. And if you're able to stand for a reading from the Word of the Lord, join me in standing out of honor for what God would say to our hearts. I'll begin reading in verse number 4 of Acts chapter 13. It begins, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, 'O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season.' And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, you know our name. How about that? I think one of the first rudimentary things that we can ever learn, ever in the whole wide world. We're not here by accident. You've created us. You know us. And you have a plan for us to trust Jesus Christ. I think we would go in and teach that to someone who had never read a Bible. That we have a creator. That we're not here by accident. Father, I pray that everyone here would not only understand you know them, but that we would know you, and that we would trust you and walk with you and just be blessed in this earthly journey with its twists and turns and complications. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with time to worship you here on earth. Time is running out quickly. Help us to use our time wisely, not to waste our lives. And Father, we pray that now you'll use this word in Acts 13 for the well-being of our souls, and that we could say, it's time to trust Jesus just like this governor did in Cyprus. May we join him today in our faith. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, what an exciting journey. Barnabas and Saul. Interesting thing about it after you get through with this, it's always Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. After this, when Saul steps forward and challenges this governor, you're going to see things flip. After this, it's going to be Paul and Barnabas. You won't see Barnabas listed first. You'll see Paul, and you'll see his name listed as Paul. You'll say, did God give him a new name? I think you would find that Saul was his Hebrew name. Paul was a kind of a Roman Gentile name. He's going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He's going to be called Paul from this moment forward. He'll never be called Saul again. The flip changes. The key turns right here. Just like that. Very exciting, this journey is. It's almost like Christopher Columbus setting out the ocean blue, 1492. It's a world-changing event, what I just read to you, punching into the darkness of Cyprus, of all things. This is almost like the pilgrims coming over on the Mayflower. The world would never be the same because of Barnabas and Saul taking this journey as a sign, prayed for, fasted, counsel sought by the church at Antioch. Here they go, first organized missions journey. We're here today, Bible in our hands, because of this journey. Changed our world. And so we're thankful for it. The impact on their trip wound up changing the world. First stop, Cyprus. You say, what in the world? Surely you could go into some friendlier place. I mean, this looks like the underside of the beast itself. This Cyprus was a place that was not of a high reputation. It was a large island out in the Mediterranean, devoted to sinning with a high hand and making sure that everybody around it sinned with a high hand. They were sinners, proud of it. That was their story. They were sticking with it. They worshiped the goddess Venus. Lust was their ticket to heaven. And the things that they did as worshipers in Cyprus would kind of remind us of Sodom and Gomorrah, kind of remind us of parts of the world some were quite familiar with, right? Our own world today, but it was to Cyprus that the Holy Spirit sent them. I'll ask my wife, where do you want to eat? I don't know, I don't know. She'll ask me, where do you want to eat? I don't know, I don't know. We're kind of decisionally challenged, even about the simplest things. The Holy Spirit sent Barnabas and Saul. They had directive from heaven on high to make this decision. And so we depend on the Holy Spirit as a church today to guide our every step and to go into all the world. We're not going into maintenance mode. We're going into let's brag on Jesus and tell the world about Him. They went to Cyprus. In Cyprus, people worshiped lust. It is to Cyprus that the Holy Spirit sent them. Barnabas formerly lived in Cyprus. He was a man of Cyprus. He would be well familiar with these people. Maybe that's part of the reason the Holy Spirit sent them to Cyprus. Barnabas was a Cyprus man, but Barnabas was a Christian. And they were going to pierce the darkness. It's as though the light of the gospel was going to go out. Where shall we go? What kind of community shall we go? Let's go to the darkest community we can think of. And let's punch holes in the darkness there. You think, are they going to make it? Are they going to make it? Waste of time. The Holy Spirit has sent them in the wrong direction. They did not need to fear failure. They entered Cyprus with their sails full of heavenly breezes, and God would give them success. They would never retreat, but rather, here, go behind enemy lines. Here, they would engage the enemy. And in Cyprus, God was going to do a great work. Our God, you can't tame Him. Our God, He's up to something all the time. Our God works in the most unexpected ways. Our God steps forward when you least imagine Him to step forward. And you see the Lord at work here in Cyprus. Paul and Barnabas are up against it. And God steps in and does great things. I want us to see three characters in this story. I want us to see character number one, I think the most important, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Spirit. Never underestimate the Holy Spirit of God. He is far too often overlooked, far too often ignored. Whatever happened to the Holy Spirit? He is here in our midst as He was there in their midst. I want us to think for a moment about Him in verse number 4. I want us to think not only about the Spirit, I want us to think about a sorcerer. Oh, things are going to get interesting. We've got a magician. We've got a sorcerer in the midst. We've got a snake in the room, if you will, in the sorcerer Elimus. He's called Bar-Jesus, son of Jesus. Should have been called Bar-Devil, son of the devil, the sorcerer's in the room. This is high drama here. So I want us to see the spirit. I want us to see the sorcerer. And lastly, I want us to see the sovereign. This king, this governor, this the guy in charge of the whole island asked for an audience with Barnabas and Saul. How did he know about them? Who knows? They had nothing going for them. But he asked for a private audience with Barnabas and Saul so that he could hear what they teach. And God gives them an audience with the governor. First, the Spirit, verse number 4. So they, we're told, being sent forth, not by the church of Antioch, not by the church in Jerusalem, not by the 12 apostles, they were sent forth by the Holy Spirit. They departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, and He has many, is to guide and to say, go, and to say, do this, and to say, go this way, and don't go that way. And we follow His leading as a church. We are very attached. We're kind of addicted to the Holy Spirit here at Friendly Baptist Church. We love the Holy Spirit. And as they were guided by the, He said they were guided by the Holy Spirit to go. We want to be guided by Him as well. We're told in the Word, the natural man can't understand the things of God. They are spiritual, can't discern. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches us the Word of the Lord. When we read the Word, I've had a lot of people say, too complicated. I've had a lot of people say, too long. I've heard a lot of people say, I don't understand it. The Holy Spirit gives us understanding of the Word of the Lord. Did you know, I think it was 1 John 2:27, we have an anointing, a sacred anointing, like a king, like a prophet, like a priest. Oil has been poured on our head. We have anointing of the Holy Spirit to understand the Word of the Lord. So John would write, so that you need not that any man teach you, for the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, and He is truth, and He does not lie. We depend on the Holy Spirit. People say, well, you're going to get charismatic. I would not come in this desk without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I would not want to be up here without Him today. I suspect you would not want to live your life void of the Holy Spirit of God. We depend on His anointing. We depend on Him, you know, calling us and sealing us and gifting us and guiding us as he does here. He is perhaps the most important character of all. They being sent forth by the Holy Spirit. They sailed to Cyprus. Spurgeon would say, you might say this is like going to Satan's seat. Satan cast a long shadow. Satan had this island in his grip. Satan had this island right where he wanted them. Stay away. Satan would say, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go to Cyprus. Never be afraid of the Lord guiding you and taking you to places to share the good news of Christ with whoever your path crosses, for the Lord has sent them your way. If God can save Cyprus, if God can save Saul, turn him to Paul, if God can save this guy standing here, He can save anybody. And so the Holy Spirit sent them. Some would imagine, I don't know, this experiment looks like it's going south right out of the gate. What a waste of time. They will fail. It's too dangerous. Why Cyprus? Spurgeon would say something else. He said, you got a big stack of hay here. You got a big stack of hay, big hay, top to bottom. And you want to strike a match to it. You want to burn that sack of hay. You got to get it out of the field. No good to anybody. Let's get rid of it. He would say, put your match at the bottom. And then the whole thing will be consumed very nicely. The match is put at the bottom. Cyprus, that's where we're going. We're going to this land engulfed in darkness. We're going to Satan's seat, we're going to put the match to the bottom of the haystack and watch what happens to the world that follows. This is where the Holy Spirit led them. Therefore, success is guaranteed. The church will not fail. People say the church, hard times, bad times, the worst thing I can do for my soul is the church. Church is a has-been, church is a wannabe, church is nothing. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what he said. The Holy Spirit guided them to the island of Cyprus, and success was a guarantee. They're going into a field. I come from farm people. We have to go in. You'd look at this field and go, man, stumps. You got to clear the stumps. Man, this weeds. There's never been a plow. There's never been a disc. There's never been any implement. And this is sheer wilderness. There's never been anybody to manage this piece of property before. Okay, let's start pulling the stumps. Okay, let's put in the plow. They were going to put the plow into virgin soil and turn it, flip it upside down, and watch the harvest that God would bring to this wilderness called Cyprus, sent there by the Holy Spirit. Because oftentimes, you can go in and have more success in Cyprus than you can in the synagogue, of all things. In a moment, you're going to see they went into the synagogue and they preached the word. Went into the synagogue and preached the word. No response, crickets. You don't get any response, do you? It's just total silence. Nothing comes out of that. Sometimes you can go to the Pharisee, nothing. Go to Cyprus. Go into the alleys, the back alleys, and what a Pharisee may not do, you can accomplish at Cyprus. And so they go. The Holy Spirit guides them there. It is a thrilling journey. He guides them. He guides us. Next, you encounter in verse 5, after you encounter the Spirit, verse 5, you encounter the sorcerer. Enter the sorcerer in verse number 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to be their minister. What were the results? Zero, zip, nada, silence, crickets, nothing going on in the synagogues. You don't hear of anything, do you? Verse 6, when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer. Dark music starts. A false prophet. He was a Jew of all things. He was Antichrist. Now his name is Bar Jesus, which means son of Jehovah, son of salvation, son of Jesus. He literally should have been called not Bar Jesus. He should have been called Bar Devil, son of the devil, Bar Satan, son of Satan, because he is going to resist. He is going to have the spirit of Antichrist. He's going to try to put a spoke in their wheel and stop their progress. He is going to try to shoo them off the island. Get away from the governor. Don't touch the governor. Get away from Cyprus. You get out of here. He is the sorcerer, the magician in this story. And so after preaching the word of God in the synagogues, no response is there. And rather than saying, okay, nothing going on in the synagogues here, I guess we need to do an about face, get back on the boat and go to the next island. No. They go and start encountering the citizens of Cyprus, and the first person they encounter is the sorcerer named Bar Jesus. And Paul is going in. Saul, at this point, he's not Paul just yet. His name is about to change. His Hebrew name, Saul, his Roman name, Paul. Someone said, who gave Paul his name? That's just his name. Saul, Paul, that's his name. He's going in, but he's going in wielding the sword of the Spirit. And he is going to be very successful with this sword which he yields. He goes in wearing the armor of God. He goes in with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he comes in and immediately spiritual battle takes place at the synagogue. Spiritual battle takes place with Bar-Jesus, the sorcerer that he encounters. But the gospel is going to pierce the darkness. Sorcery. It is an abomination to God. Witchcraft. God hates it. God does not like it. Witchcraft is condemned. Witchcraft is alive and well in our land. There are capitals putting up, you know, images of Satan, saying, "Bow if you can have the Christians and their faith there. We want our faith represented." And they'll put in an image of Satan at different capitals across the nation. Witchcraft, it's not dead, it's alive and well. Witchcraft, probably as many involved in witchcraft, Satanism, the occult today as ever before. God despises it, and it is an abomination. Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 12, spells the doom of witchcraft. This Bar-Jesus, he was a deceiver. Bar-Jesus, he was a false prophet. Bar-Jesus, he gets the bad guy card. Bar-Jesus, you say, "Oh, I got the name of Jesus, he must be a good guy." Jesus said there's going to be many false prophets that rise. Jesus says, you just wait and see what's going to happen. Once I leave, the room is going to be flooded with false prophets, flooded with counterfeits, flooded with fakes, flooded with phonies. Here was item number one. Bar-Jesus, if you will, son of salvation, should be named Bar-Devil. He was with the governor of the country. You say, "What's the devil doing? Where's he at? Where's the devil? Is he in the bar?" Sometimes he's with the leaders of the country. Somebody say amen on that. That's what he was doing. I hate to tell you this. He was with the governor. That's where he was. And Satan's right-hand man snuggled right up to the throne of Cyprus. The guy that he was with was in charge of the whole island. And the one that the governor leaned on maybe more than anybody else was good old Bar-Jesus, who was a son of perdition out of hell himself, whispering in the governor's ear. He was with the governor of the country, an influencer of rulers. And the Lord doesn't say, "Bar-Jesus, please excuse me. Would you mind if I come on?" The Lord doesn't ask for permission. The Lord is going to kick this guy out of the way and step on his head before this whole thing is over. Our God is not a tame God. And if you're here today, say, "I'm an enemy of the gospel." You're here today, say, "I don't like it when you preach about Jesus." You better watch what God does with Bar-Jesus. This Elimus. This Elimus, he may write nasty letters to the preacher. This Elimus, he may try to backstab. Elimus, he may try to split the church. God can handle Elimus. Pretty handily. That's what he can do. Pretty handy. Like Herod, you see some people who are anti-Christ throughout the book of Acts. Herod, most recent, wanted nothing to do with the apostles, killed James, arrested Peter. God doesn't say, "Excuse me, Herod, I don't know, you're kind of giving me a hard time down there. Would you just lighten up a little bit?" Herod's out giving a speech, and with all of his silver countenanced robe. The sun was blinding the eyes. They thought he was God. God struck him dead on the spot in the middle of his speech, and he was consumed by worms. You say, can God handle his enemies? Quite nicely, thank you very much. Bar-Jesus, he's standing in the way. "I'm going to stick my spoke in the wheel. How dare you come to Cyprus?" God says, "Get out of the way. I'm coming through. I'm unstoppable. I will succeed." There may be someone here who is the enemy of the gospel. You say, why do you ask people to come to Christ? Because I don't want you to wind up like Herod. How about that? I don't want you to wind up like this Elymas, this Bar Jesus, if you will. I don't want that to be your end, if you will. I want you to come to faith in Christ, because fighting the Lord, whether you're a Herod or you're a Bar Jesus, you're going to lose. You need to come to faith in Christ today, not tomorrow, today, before it's too late. Because after we encounter the Spirit and after we encounter the sorcerer, we encounter, if you will, the sovereign. We're told when it came to Elymas in verse 8, Elymas, that's Bar Jesus, same guy. The sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation. The know-it-all, the class clown, Elymas. He withstood them. He sought to turn away the governor, the proconsul, the president of the island. Turn him away from the faith. Then Saul, now called Paul, never again Saul. Instantly changed. Hebrew name, Saul. Roman name, Paul. He's going to be an apostle to Hebrews, Jews? No, he would always preach to them. The apostle to the Gentile, the Roman world. He would pick up the name Paul and never be called Saul again. Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, wielding the sword, armor of God, sets his eyes on him and doesn't say, oh, please have mercy. Oh, please, dear God. He says, oh, thou full of all subtlety. You full of all mischief. You don't have to read between the lines with Saul called Paul. Son of the devil. Enemy of righteousness. Perverting the right ways of the Lord, the paths of the Lord. Get out of the way. The hand of the Lord is upon you. And he's not coming to pat you on the back. He's coming to slap you right in the middle of your soul. The hand of the Lord, it can be the most gracious thing. The hand of the Lord can be the most ferocious thing. The hand of the Lord is upon you. I walk. I want the hand of the Lord upon me. But he comes upon his children with grace, peace, joy, guidance, protection. I want the hand of the Lord. But this hand of the Lord you do not want. He says, the hand of the Lord is upon you. And you're the son of the devil. You're the enemy of righteousness. You're perverting the paths and the right ways of the Lord. The hand of the Lord is upon you. You shall be blind. Not seeing for the sun for a season, and immediately he's cast into a mist and darkness settles over him. Paul would know something about this, wouldn't he? Paul would know something about being made blind for a season. The hand of the Lord struck Saul to the ground on his road to Damascus. He could not see for a season of 3 days, and the Lord led him his friend Ananias. And the light came, Christ came, and Saul has never been the same since. But the hand of the Lord was to fall on this sorcerer, if you will, so that the Spirit of God could get to the sovereign. So the hand of the Lord came upon him in verse 11. He would not see the sun for a season of days. Immediately he fell into a mist. Darkness settled over his dark heart, dark soul, dark mind, dark eyes. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then, this governor, this proconsul, this deputy, when he saw what was done, Sergius Paulus. I always think there's two Pauls in this story. There's Paul, who was Saul. There's a second Paul, Sergius Paulus. His name was Paul. He would be a trophy of the grace. He's of grace. He sees what the Lord does to Elimas. He sees what the Lord does to Bar Jesus, the Jew, the cult leader, the guy who was demonic. He listens to the words of Saul and Barnabas. They don't have Billy Graham Evangelistic Association working with them, do they? Don't have anybody making phone calls. They don't have Billy Graham. They don't have TV. They don't have radio. They don't have anything. God makes this appointment with this Sergius Paulus. Maybe that's why he went to the name Paul. The first trophy of grace is a governor of this huge island in the Mediterranean. He will forever be known as Paul the Apostle. And there he goes. And what convinces Sergius Paulus? It's what God did with Elimas. It's what God said through Barnabas and Saul. It was the great things. Maybe there's someone here, it says, I don't care what you say, I will never come to faith in Christ. I don't care what you say. God may use your death and destruction to lead many to Christ when Sergius Paulus saw what God did. Now you're going to be on God's payroll one way or the other. He will either use you for His glory, or He will use your death and destruction for His glory. He saw what happened to Bar Jesus. He saw what happened to this one called Elimas. And I can almost palpably feel in my heart that there is someone in this room fighting God in their heart right now, and I say, you had better repent today. You had better come to faith in Christ. Because if Herod is any poster child for anything, it is don't fight God. He's bigger than you are. If Bar Jesus has a poster child for anything, it is you better not arm wrestle with the Lord Jesus. He is stronger than you are. And He is going to get His glory out of you one way or the other. I'm saying come to faith in Christ. Perhaps Luke calls him Paul because of the conversion of Sergius Paulus. The Lord has a way of silencing all opposition. The Lord has a way of establishing the truth. The Lord has tricks up His sleeve. About the time you think there is no God, it's in vain. You're worshiping. This is a man-made God. Ruth sang a moment ago, we're not worshiping a man-made God. We're worshiping a God who made man, who knows our name. And if you do battle with the Lord, it is not going to end well. Our program, you say, what's Friendly Baptist all about? Next week you're having a new prospective members class. What's that all about? Our program, let me just boil this down to an economy of words. Our program, their program. They depended on praying. We depend on praying. We haven't lost confidence in praying. They depended on fasting. We believe in fasting. We ask the Lord, we hunger for God more than we hunger for anything else. On God's green earth, we hunger for God. They depended on the Spirit. We hunger for the Spirit. The church went 1,800 years without one program. All we want you to do is to pray and to fast and depend on the Spirit of God. That's our agenda. It is not complicated. If you've never trusted Christ, may the battle end right here, right now, today. If you've never trusted Christ, this is the day of salvation. They were not going into some sort of a maintenance mode. We're going to be 20 in 2 weeks, 20 years old. We're just a child. Isn't that great? When I say we're just a child, you say you may be 90 years old. Say amen. We're just a child. Amen. I was kind of weak. Let me try it again. We're just a child. Oh, yeah, there you go, right there. We're just a child. 20 years old. You say, okay, the church is paid off, and we're out of debt, and we've got our reserves. We're all buttoned up and latched up. We're going into maintenance mode. Oh, no, no, that's not what we're doing. We are going to tell the world about Jesus. No maintenance mode here. And if you've never trusted Christ, then today is the day where our program, if they had a program, it's our program. We ask you to come to accept Christ as your Savior. I am engaged when I'm up here at this desk, and I'm all too fully aware of it, in a spiritual dogfight. But I am confident in the Holy Spirit to work in our lives for our good and for His glory. And if you've never trusted Christ, then today is the day to say, I believe. Is your soul hanging in the balance? Then let's get to Jesus today. Let's pray. Father, we've looked at the Spirit, we've looked at the sorcerer, we've looked at this sovereign, this governor, this president, this proconsul of this island, and watched as they punched a huge hole in the darkness in Cyprus. And we're here today much because of the work that they did on this initial missionary journey. The concentric circles are still going and rippling around the world. Over a billion people say, I believe in Jesus because of this trip. But Father, there are more. There are others. There is a spiritual battle that goes on. Asking the Lord if there's one here today who needs a Savior, that they would come when this song begins and they would say, I need a Savior today. Lord, help them open their eyes, ears, hearts to the gospel of Christ, just like you opened Sergius Paulus, his heart, his mind, his eyes to the truth of the gospel. May it be so again and again and again. There may be others, Lord, who need prayer today. May they come when the song begins. Not wait for conversations in the narthex. Not wait for conversations in the foyer. Not wait. When the song begins, Lord, may they come for prayer today. Prayer for their own soul. Prayer for their nation. Prayer for our church, prayer for their family, their husband, their wife, their children, prayer for their souls, Lord. May they come. There may be others. I'm leading a discussion on our church next week. How about starting the party today? There may be others who need a church home. Someone came last week saying, I need to come home to Friendly. Lord, bless as your Holy Spirit works in our hearts, each and every heart. And may this closing song bring all glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.